Well, good early Sunday morning. Today we carry further into the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, verses 41 on down. We begin to look at the church and the birth of the church. See, the church was God's idea all along. It was God's plan to birth the church in Jerusalem and then spread throughout the rest of the world. And we looked at that last week when the Holy Spirit filled those 120 people and Peter began to preach. And we read his message last week and the message went out of salvation. And now we look at the church. Listen, I love the church. Why? Because it was God's idea. And it's filled with imperfect people. So people on the outside who look at the church and say, that's filled full of hypocrites. They're right. Because Jesus is perfect and we're not. And we serve a perfect God and we're not. So we're going to fail and we do fail. So that really does, if you want to call it, it does make us all a bunch of hypocrites. But we're saved hypocrites by the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God for grace in our life. A lot of people have ideas about what church is. A lot of times people just think the church is a building. It's mortar and bricks. No, we're going to move out of this one real soon. And we're still the church. This is just brick. This is just a building. This is just a house where we come to because we are the church. The church is a local body of people gathered together in fellowship to worship and honor God and spread the gospel. So that's one definition of the church. The other definition of the church is believers in Christ of all times, of all ages, and all nations. Because there's a worldwide church that goes all the way back to the beginning who trusted God all along and into the future that we do not know yet. That's also the worldwide church, and it's the local body. It has nothing to do with a building. Building is part of the ministry that we have. So today, as we look at this God's idea and God's plan of the church, we look at basically four conditions today that is just primary for us to get it right. We want to get it right. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 41 through 47. A.W. Tozier said this. He said, 100 religious persons knit together into a unit by careful organization does not constitute a church any more than 11 dead men make a football team. The first requisite is life, always. Life in Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. So we look at a few things today. In Acts 2, verse 42. On down to 47. So let's begin in verse 41. I'm sorry, let's 41. It says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So those who accepted the message of Jesus Christ, the first step that it took in their life to be obedient to Christ is they were baptized. So I want to tell you today, if you are following Jesus, you love Jesus, God's word tells us that we need to be baptized. If you have never been baptized, listen, you just need to fill out that little green card. It says, listen, I love Jesus. I know that I've accepted him as my Savior, but I want to be baptized, and we'll take care of that. So they were baptized. Verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were brought together. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. Let's pray together. Father God, today, Lord, just clear up our understanding of the church. Lord, clear up our understanding that we all play a vital part in propagating the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel message that changes lives. So many of us, God, have been on the sidelines, and there's a game going on, Lord. There's a war going on, a spiritual war. We're just sitting on the sidelines watching it go by. Father, let us not be people who just want to warm a seat on Sunday and wait for the next gathering. Lord, let us be people who are seeking opportunities to share our faith that we have in you. Share the message that can transform their life and bring them in to the church. Speak to us today, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. So there are basically four conditions that we find in this passage of Scripture to help us understand more about the church. The first condition is this. The prerequisite for uniting with the church is conversion and baptism. So there's a prerequisite that Jesus puts out. Listen, you just don't join the church because you go there. That's not membership in the local body. It takes you, hey, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and I'll follow through with baptism. Listen, we practice that because that's what the Bible teaches. If the Bible didn't teach us, we wouldn't practice it. So have you ever repented of your sins and by faith professed Jesus as your Lord and Savior? See, verse 41 says, those who accepted his message were all baptized. It is impossible to unite with the church and the local body of believers unless we are born again. Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night. And he asked Jesus, you know, we know that you're a great teacher that's come from God. Tell me more. John chapter 3, verse 3 and 5, Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you're born again, cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was blown away. How? At an old age like this, can I return to my mother's womb? And Jesus cleared it up for him a few verses further down. He says, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born of water, meaning a physical birth, and spirit, meaning a spiritual birth, when you're saved or converted, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Jesus laid it out. Listen, there's a physical birth that you were born, that your mother delivered you into this world. There's a time, appointed time and place that you were born. There's a spiritual birth. There's also a time and place that you go from death to life spiritually. It doesn't just happen because mom and daddy were good church people. It doesn't happen when we're an infant, when we didn't make the decision and somebody else made it for us. It happens when we, by an act of our will, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, regenerating our lost soul to see Jesus as Savior, and we, by faith, accept him. See, you must, absolutely must accept the message that Jesus is God's only Son. He loves you and died on a cross to pay the debt of your sins and resurrected on the third day to bring you life eternal. And see, under the power of the Holy Spirit, when you receive the free gift of grace in repentance of your sin, the Holy Spirit converts you from lost to saved, from spiritually dead to spiritually alive. Paul writes in Romans 10:9, says, if you confess your sins, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. God intentionally did not make salvation complicated for us. He took the complicated part on Calvary's cross. He paid for our sins already. We don't have to do that. That's the complicated part. The easy part is believing. God intentionally made salvation easy for us. Jesus paid our debt in full. We see in Acts 2:41, those who accepted his message. What message? Well, here's basically it in bullet points, that you and I are lost sinners. We have to realize that we're lost. Before we can be saved, we have to realize that we're going in the wrong direction. We're lost, separated from God by our sin. That God loves us even in that condition. That Jesus is who he says that he is. That Jesus died to forgive our sin and bring us back in right relationship with God the Father. That Jesus rose from the dead after 3 days, defeating sin's death penalty. That Jesus gives us the gift of grace. The Holy Spirit gives us the gift of faith for salvation in Christ. And you must respond to Jesus through that faith that is given to you in repentance to be saved. See, confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. That's the core of your being. All of the truth about Jesus. By faith, you receive Jesus as Savior. And this seals you. Then he seals you with the Holy Spirit. You see, it's not going through a whole bunch of hoops. It's just believing the gospel. And I just put it in little bullet points. That's all. That's the believing the gospel message. You don't have to know, understand everything about Jesus and everything about how salvation works. All you need to know is Jesus is who he says he is. And trust him by faith. See, Acts 2, 4. Verse 41, the latter part of verse 41 says, those who accepted its message were baptism. See, baptism is necessary. It is necessary. I never want you to walk out of here thinking, well, Brother Kevin, you know, he doesn't think baptism is necessary for salvation. Well, I don't need to be baptized. Listen, it's not necessary for salvation, but it's necessary for obedience. And if you're saved, you want to be obedient to Jesus. That's the first act of obedience. When we accept Christ as our Savior, it's to say, listen, when do we need to schedule your baptism? ASAP, as soon as possible. We've had even services at baptism day that said, I've accepted Jesus, I'm going to be baptized today. I don't want to put it off. I want to be obedient to Christ. If I'm going to follow him, I want to be obedient to him. Baptism represents two things. That you claim publicly that you have received Jesus as your Savior. You declare publicly that you claim Jesus' death and burial and resurrection for your own. That you exhibit. Second thing, that you exhibit that you have died to your old way of life and resurrected to a new life in Christ. I love that. Is that we've died to our old self and resurrected to a new life in Christ. Now, there are some people who have gone through the water. I don't know difference in their life. They have not left the old life. Then they need to do a spiritual check with Jesus. Was it an emotional thing they did, or was it something that the Holy Spirit moved in their life and changed them? Because, see, when you're saved, those old things that you used to do, boy, they begin to lose their glitter. They begin to lose their appeal to you. And sometimes it may take a little while to get away from it. Boy, the Holy Spirit begins to convict you about some things in your life, and you begin to move away from it. That shows growth in your life. See, to be in the church, you must be converted. That's turn to Jesus in faith and repentance. And in obedience, be baptized. It was said that when we will never change the world by going to church. We will only change the world by being the church. And a lot of times, listen real close, there are many people who warm the chairs in a gathering of the church who are not really part of the church. Because from Monday through Saturday, there's no difference in their life. They're not being the church. They're attending a church gathering, but they're not being the church. The second condition we see this is an active member of the local church is committed to Jesus and connected to fellow believers. Listen, that's why we call our Sunday school connection groups. Because it's real important that we connect to one another. And a lot of times we don't connect to one another because we're not taking a step of faith, even though we're not sure about it, to get involved in a small group. Verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and of prayer. See, to commit means to obligate or pledge oneself. Many times people will go to a church, but they don't want to become a member of that church because they don't feel like being obligated or feel like being committed. Listen, that's not biblical. The Bible teaches that these believers were committed to one another. Hey, they were so committed, they were out selling their property and sharing with those who don't have. Now listen, I'm not telling you go out there and sell your property and give to those around you. But listen, those who are in need and God has blessed you with something, be generous, be compassionate, and help those who are in need. These people were selling stuff and giving it to the poor, giving it to those who were in their fellowship who were in need. Listen, that's commitment. And that's connected to those who are around them. See, to connect means to bring together so that a real link is established. It's important as a church as we grow. Listen, I could easily see our church growing to 600 and 700 in attendance. I could see that. I could see 1,000 people. Just in the city limits of Ville Platte, there's 10,000 people. Look around you. Does it look like they're all here? No. And on any given Sunday morning, we could go in Evangeline Parish, and there are people who are at Miller's Lake fishing. They're at Chico Park fishing. They're at the ball fields. They're all over the place, but they're not worshiping God here or anywhere else where the church gathers. There are a lot of people who need Jesus. We need to make a connection with them. When we unite with a local church, we pledge ourselves to that body of believers for real connection. See, many people are hesitant about committing themselves to a local church. There may be various reasons for people to avoid commitment. Many are stretched in time because they have prioritized other things, other functions, sports, recreation, family, above fellow believers. Now, listen, family time is very important. But my family does not come before God. I never want my family to become an idol before God. Matter of fact, that's a violation of the Ten Commandments. You shall have no graven images. You know, worship the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. And in Deuteronomy says strength. He's priority. He's number one. You drag them babies, your family, to church with you. If they don't want to come, they can make coffee at the house and they can put the pot roast on because you coming to worship God. Some people simply want to their name to be on a church roll to feel secure about having a place to marry their children and bury their loved ones. Listen, I know that sounds shallow, but it happens. Believe me, it happens. There are a lot of people who put their name on a church roll. They go through, they come, they walk an aisle, and they do this and they do that. And say, I want to be a member of your church. Why? Because they want to use the church to be married in and not cost them anything. Folks, in 14 years, I've seen about everything. Man. Some people have this consumer mentality where they simply want to take and not contribute. Give me, but I'm not giving. There's all kind of reasons that people don't want to commit to church. There's so many people who avoid committing their time and their talents, their tithes, to spread the gospel through the local church. Listen, I never want anybody in the sound of my voice that I'm preaching, listen, whether in this congregation or watching by the internet or listening by radio, I never want anyone to stand before Jesus and say, I never heard that message that I should give my time, that I should give my talent and you use my tithe to spread the gospel. Listen, that's just bare minimum of being a Christian, whatever church you go to. Whatever body of believers you gather with. I've heard people get mad at their priest. That priest, he's just talking about money. Well, this Baptist preacher is too. Why? Because I'm not talking about your money. I'm talking about God's money. That's it. Just God's money. Why? because I want you to be faithful. I want you to be a good steward of what God has blessed you in your life with. I was thinking about that coming over here this morning. Back over the Easter break, I was going through my mom's stuff. We're still cleaning out a house because my time is limited in what I do. I found more checks where she was tithing. Listen, there's nobody in this, in the sound of my voice, can ever say, well, I just don't have any money to tithe. It's not that you can't, it's that you won't. Because I saw those checks, and I know what my mother brought in. And I'm not lifting her up, but I'm just saying this way, that we can all be faithful. We can all be faithful. We can all be committed to the very things. How are we going to stand before Jesus? And Jesus says, listen, I gave you this much a month for you to live off of, and this much money, this much a month for you to contribute to the gospel ministry to be spread around the world. And when we say, I didn't know. I said, no, Brother Kevin preached to you on that. You know it. You just didn't do it. See, some commit to the things of God while others covet the things of God. See, so many people want relationship without requirements. They want religion without repentance. They want salvation without submission. They want character without commitment. They want blessings without behavior. They want church without a challenge to grow. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 and 15 says, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. Are you living for Christ today? Jesus wants us to be committed to him and connected to his church because we live for him and not for ourselves. See, church is not a social club. It is a local gathering of born-again, baptized believers who worship together and spread the gospel ministry. Look at, that's what the biblical understanding of church, that is the example that's set in the Bible. And that's what we all should be practicing. Has church life changed some? Yes, but the foundation has not. The truth is not changed at all. We gather to worship God, to be discipled, to encourage one another with spiritual and emotional and physical needs. The question gets very personal. How committed are you to your local church? And since you're sitting in First Baptistville Platte, how committed are you to this church? Do you meet regularly or do you meet when you feel like it? I'm going to be honest. There's some Sunday mornings I don't feel like being here. At 4:30 and 5 o'clock comes early on a Sunday morning, get up and start studying. I'm like, where's my coffee? And this morning was one of those mornings. Wedding yesterday afternoon in DeVille. Service this morning. See, the first church met daily, verse 46 says, every day they continue to meet in the temple courts. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25 says this, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. The writer of Hebrews is saying, listen, church, don't wear out. Listen, church, the day is coming that Jesus arrives. He is coming back to gather his church up. Don't quit. Don't get lazy. Don't get apathetic. Don't make other priorities over coming together. Worship. Why? Because the church was God's idea. And God established it. The Holy Spirit moved in a powerful way to establish the church. God loves the church. As imperfect as we are, God loves us. See, in the light of this scripture, how deep is your commitment and your connection to Jesus and his church? The third condition we see this morning is the local church is a faith community of Christians united together by like-minded beliefs based on the Bible. You're here at First Baptist because we are like-minded. Do we always see things, everything the same? No. There are going to be some things that we just agree to disagree on and move on. But listen, the core things are there. We believe them. Those major doctrines, when we read the Bible, we see the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. Yes, this is it. Verse 44 says, all believers were together and had everything in common, even their beliefs. The local church in a community of believers who choose to meet is a community of believers who choose to meet at a designated location. We are First Baptist Ville Platte. We're converted, baptized believers in Christ Jesus. We choose by an act of our will to exercise our faith through worship and ministry and missions and discipleship and fellowship and evangelism, together as the Holy Spirit leads. We're like-minded in our beliefs and our doctrines. We're unified, not uniform, but united in purpose. See, Romans 15, verse 5 and 6 says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that the one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Person who is not unified with the church, person who is never happy with things that this pastor does or this church does, I can recommend other good churches around. It's really that simple, because we need to work together as the Holy Spirit is leading. And as the Holy Spirit leads, there's a pastor in Lafayette that stands before his congregation, and from time to time, it's a big congregation, he'll tell them this, and it kind of surprised me, but it's true. He said, thank you for coming today for worship, but I just want you to know that this may not be the church for you, and that's okay. So I guess that message can always come down to us. You know, this may not be the church for you, and that's okay. Because we don't need people running around out in the neighborhood and the community sowing discord among those who need Jesus. How can we share the love of Jesus if we're there talking bad about the preacher of the church? There's other churches around that would like your discord. Maybe. Francis Chan said, I don't believe God wants our church life to be centered on buildings and services. Instead, God wants our churches to be focused and active discipleship, missions, and the pursuit of unity. Fourth condition, I'm closing. The local church is commissioned and commanded to actively share the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Through the love of Jesus, we will see lost souls saved. Listen, when we are united together and focused in ministry and understanding that God has given us all gifts and He's given us all a story that we have gone through, something in our experience that God has changed and transformed us to, He's given us all this, not so that we can sit down on it, but that we can use it to spread the gospel of Jesus. When we refuse to share our faith, to share our testimony, share its story of salvation with others, that means that we are not fulfilling what Jesus has left for us to do. What a sad day that will be for anyone. Listen, you may not be that person to go out and knock on a stranger's door and say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. I'm going to tell you, that takes some gifted people to do that. But we all have a story of what Jesus has done in our life. We're saved. We're born again. We know there's a story behind us. And there are people that we encounter every day who need Christ. John 10, verse 20 says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Witnessing for Jesus is obedience. It is not an option. Jesus gave the commission that we are to act in a prescribed manner. And when we share Jesus and His redeeming, healing message with those who are hurting, we will see lives change and souls transformed. Then we can say, as verse 47 does, the latter part says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved.
Daily.
I've heard a lot of people say, man, y'all been baptizing a lot of people there at Firstville Platte, huh? Y'all been baptizing a whole. Yeah, but there's still more. There's still more that have not given their life to Christ yet. John Piper said this, the world does not need cool Christians who are culturally saturated. It needs exiles with the scent of heaven and the aroma of Christ. What does church mean to you? What does First Baptistville Platte mean to you? What does being a part of the church, the worldwide church, mean to you? You must be converted by faith and follow Jesus in baptism. You must be committed and connected to aid in your spiritual growth. You must be like-minded in beliefs. You must be actively working out the commission by Jesus to bring others to know Him. That's what the church really means. It's not a social club that we just gather together and have fun and talk and laugh. Listen, that's all great. That's fellowship time. But there's a part of us that we are to be actively involved in the ministry. That we all have a part to play. So out of the 100% of people who come, approximately about 35% are connected in groups. So there's a vast group there that's not being connected. And there's probably about 30% who are actually doing ministry missions. So there's a gap between how many people are saying First Baptist Churchville Platte is where I go, and those who are fulfilling the part of being a disciple. And what we look at of being a disciple is that we attend worship, that we're plugged into a small group, and that we're serving in some way. That could be with children, that could be with, and it may not be every week, but it's serving with children or with the students. Or like yesterday, we had a group with Erica that went over to the Boys and Girls Club and did some painting and some work over there. That's serving in our community. Now, there's a question that came up a couple of years ago and that pastors ask themselves a lot of times and church leaders. If your church disappeared in your community today, would anybody even miss it? And when you think about that, don't think about what everybody else is doing at the church. Think about what you are doing at the church. Ouch. That hits right pretty hard. The church, it's God's idea. And God left us a mission. And I want you to have rewards untold when you pass from this life into the next. Not only were you here, Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant. He's going to say, I got some stuff for you here. Oh, how great it is for you for all eternity to be rewarded by Jesus. Let's pray together. Father God, today, thank you, Lord. This message is hard to hear. God, even in putting it together and composing, Lord, the Holy Spirit has moved upon me even, Lord. There's so many things that Lord, I know that in my own life, there's areas to grow. And Lord, this message is not to chastise, but Lord, it's a message of encouragement that, Lord, there's expectations that you put in our life. And Lord, we want to be obedient to you. Father, we want to be those people that you look at, you know, that you say, listen, I have some things for you for all eternity. Oh, God, today may we take this message by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Let us step out of our comfort zone. Let us step out of the places that we've gotten into a rut and say, Lord, I want to be used by you. I want to be available for you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
going to sing the chorus of Lion and the Lamb together.